You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Fashion. Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95 BFM with Penelope Noir.
Good morning, Penelope.
Morena, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now,
what have I got?
I just thought I could hear something in the background there. Now, Penelope, we are chatting about gumboots this morning.
Yes, we've kind of done a general gumboot chat before, but I'm thinking about summer festivals and what you wear to summer festivals.
Yes.
And my question is, do people wear gumboots to New Zealand summer festivals?
Obviously there's a few people around the BFM office that have been cruising slightly more upmarket gumboots. I don't know if it's more or less practical than like your average sort of like gumboot that you get at, I don't know, the warehouse or whatever. But people are like wearing like gumboots. I'm like, man, is this fashion or is this just straight up practicality? Because I personally, I don't really see gumboots as like designer fashion.
Well, I'm going to talk about the designer fashion
ones. You're going to talk about the designer fashion ones? Okay. When did this trend start?
It actually started in 2005 when Kate Moss wore Hunter wellies to Glastonbury, and that was when she was kind of dating Pete Doherty. She was wearing a black vest, very short shorts, and high knee Hunter boots, and everyone totally went, "Oh my God, gumboots are great! I'm going to go out and buy them too." But they had been kind of a staple with the British aristocracy. We were talking about, you know, you mentioned some, you know, people in the BFM office, and we have to mention Anika, who wears Hunter boots, and they always look really styly on her.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought, well, what's so special about Hunter Wellingtons? Like, why is it that brand in particular?
Is there just one brand doing like high fashion gumboots?
Well, they were the ones that started it. So they've been going like since 1865, and it was actually an American inventor, Henry Lee Norris, who landed in Scotland and funded Hunter and patented vulcanization process to produce hard-wearing waterproof rubber products, and it was established under the in Edinburgh under the North British Rubber Company, and it also held a royal warrant, which made it, you know, that higher level than most other kind of products, because in England, if you have a royal warrant, everyone's like, oh, I've got my gumboots from the, you know, this company that has a royal warrant, so they end up being kind of quite fancy, and it kind of started as this guy called Arthur Wellesley, who was the first Duke of Wellington. He asked his shoemaker to modify his leather boots to make them more supple so that he could wear them. And because his name was, he was the Duke of Wellington, that's why they ended up being called Wellingtons. But of course, when they started using gum, they became gumboots.
Oh, Wellington gumboots.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, Wellington sounds like way more fancy. Gumboots just sounds like, I don't know, treading around in gum or something. But these Hunter boots were actually produced during World War One and World War Two. They were kind of like the military boots, and they had their factories operating 24/7. And I didn't realise this, but they helped prevent trench foot, which I guess is wearing boots and being having wet feet all the time. So gumboots protected people, you know, the soldiers' feet.
Yes. Makes sense.
Hunter boots is made of 28 parts, which are assembled over 3 days. They're each individual piece is hand cut from a 3D pattern and then assembled. They were worn by French farmers. In the 1950s, sales skyrocketed when they started producing a green Wellington, and that's become the most iconic. And if you look at like pictures of Princess Diana and the royals and that sort of thing, they're kind of always trudging around in green wellies. And because of the fact that the US is so obsessed with British royalty, they cottoned on to the trend. And, you know, normally they would kind of jump in the car and just drive across their farms, but they tend to kind of wear Wellingtons when they're doing it. And this incidentally kind of led to people like Chanel and Dior, you know, began manufacturing high-end gumboots as well. There was even a show at London Fashion Week in 2016 for gumboots, which seems so bizarre to me.
Are we just talking, are we like the two colours here, or are we going like every single, are they getting a bit fruity with the colours at a fashion show?
Well, they're getting quite fruity. If you go online, you can get any kind of colour imaginable, and there's like patterns and things like that. Interestingly, Hunter actually went into administration, which I guess is receivership, in 2023, because they had moved their production to China. People started complaining that the product was substandard, so there were less sales of them. But Hunter argued that it was actually post-COVID and the lack of rain in the US, which is their biggest market, and they were actually bought out by a US company and are now being, like, I guess, produced through them. So, but also, thousands of gumboots are left behind at Glastonbury every year, and charities seek to rehome them. That terminology, I think, is quite funny. Like, the gumboots are alive, and we're gonna, you know, rehome the little gumboots.
Yes, yeah. I mean, so would you say that Glastonbury is kind of the epicenter for gumboots becoming a fashion statement, as far as wearing them along to a music festival?
I would think so, and British festivals in general. I think because they tend to kind of have these downpours, and then it turns into a mud bath. And I've got to say, I've not been to Glastonbury, but I went to Splendour in the Grass quite a few years ago, and I bought gumboots because it was forecast to rain. But I guess mine were a little bit too big for me. They weren't Hunters, they were just kind of like warehouse special ones, which I found quite cool. But I was trudging around, and the mud got so deep that my foot came out of the gumboot. Have you ever experienced
that?
Yeah,
so that like gumboot gets fully stuck, yeah.
Yeah, and then so then my sock was muddy, and so I just looked ridiculous, like one shoe on, one shoe off, almost fell over, you know. So I'm not sure how practical they are in real life when it pours down with rain. But I imagine like shower areas and things like that in New Zealand festivals, they'd probably be quite handy. I don't know if I'd wander around in jandals unless I was in the shower, you know what I mean?
Yes. And what about, say, we are lucky enough to have a hot, scorching, dry summer here in Aotearoa. Do gumboots still have a place at a festival that, you know, it's like 30 degrees on site?
Yeah, I was thinking about that because they're so, I thought they'd be so sweaty inside because they are gumboot, and there's always just that kind of thin layer of fabric. So I don't know whether I'd do it. I think people would end up being like kind of into Crocs or something for that sort of thing.
All right, yeah. Penny, any other parting pieces of information about gumboots and festival attire?
I guess if you're going to go for them in a fashion way, probably go for the knee-high black ones. Actually, currently on sale on the New Zealand Hunter website, they were about 280, now they're about 150, okay. Which is still very expensive for gumboots.
Yes, they're about $7 at the warehouse. Okay, hey, all right, hey Penny, thank you so. Oh, Penelope, thank you very much for fashion this morning. We'll look forward to next week.
Thanks so much, Johnny.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was fashion on 95 BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad, and we're coming to town. Beep beep
beep beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.